Wow. Teacup full of tiddlywankers. It's my favourite podcast. Rebrand with Mort and Ashley. This is elderly British person Maggie Smith.
Wow. Incredible, you guys. That was apparently podcast fan Maggie Smith endorsing Rebrand. I guess she loves the show. This is a huge day for us. That actually came from the Discord wanting to hear me do, I believe they said, a note perfect Maggie Smith impression. So that's what that was. Sorry to break the illusion. Suffice it to say, we're having a blast on the Discord, and you should go check it out. And you do that by joining the Patreon. When you join the Patreon, you get immediate access to the Discord, as well as unreleased footage, behind the scenes photos, ad free episodes. We're going to do a Q&A at some point, possibly next month. I'm teasing that. So join the Patreon if you're inclined to do so. And thanks for supporting the show and enjoy this episode. It's Derek Waters, host of Drunk History, a show that I was fortunate enough to be on. So we have a lot of fun discussing that. Yeah, obviously a huge what we call get in the industry for the show. So we're excited about this one. I hope you guys like it. Also, Ashley's new show, SideQuest, is on Apple TV. So watch that. Check out this season of Mythic Quest as well. The finale just dropped, so that's super fun. We discuss all this in the episode, but, you know, trying to do promo for this wonderful stuff we got out there in the world. Thanks so much for listening, you guys. Bye.
And bye.
Oh, thanks, Maggie.
Rebrand.
Ding. Hello, beloved consumers. I'm Ashley Burch.
And I'm Mort Burke.
And welcome to Rebrand, a comedy podcast where we inject new life into tired old brands, whether they be snack food, celebrities, or religious institutions. I'm not going to do any banter at the top because we have too much to talk about.
No banter. Banter-free episode.
Banter-free episode. No fun, no goofs, no jokes.
No fun even. All right, this is going to be
real. Yeah, we're being serious.
It's going to be
today.
Interesting episode. So
I just want to introduce our guest is what I want to do.
But I think we should set the rule of any laughter and we start the show over.
Oh, no.
See, it's going to be a hard one.
Welcome to Rebrand, a comedy podcast. Just kidding. Do you want to introduce our guest, Henny?
God, I can't wait. I'm honored, humbled, and grateful to have, I'm going to say, an American institution with us. and a pal, and a sweetheart. You may know him as the creator of the beloved Drunk History, of which I was a part of, a cast member on. This gentleman created it and has a bunch of other fun Hollywood credits we may or may not discuss. He's also in a little TV show coming up very soon that releases on the
26th of March
called SideQuest.
That I co-EP'd.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. And Derek is a star of.
It's Derek Waters.
It's Derek
Hello.
Waters.
Hello. Thank you so much. Yes, yes, yes. It's great to be here. Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks for coming.
When I heard you wanted to rebrand me, I said yes. Whatever you want. Rebrand
Younger.
Me.
Derek, you got to.
Younger. God, I keep getting that note.
What do you think about a beret?
A beret? Oh.
Start wearing a, you know, a little more
fresh. I was Max Fisher for Halloween circa 2001.
That's a
Maybe
good
two.
Costume.
That was a great costume. That's the only beret I've ever worn.
Yeah.
It's a Max Fisher beret. But do berets make us younger, Monica Lewinsky?
I feel like there was a period in Silver Lake that I was pretty happy about when I was living there, probably circa 2011. No, I didn't wear a beret. I wasn't that courageous. I might now, but people were breaking out the berets and it felt strong. I was really proud of everybody for going that far, you know?
Yeah. G.I. Joe is a beret for me, right? That's a beret.
That's true. Mm-hmm. It's strange that they're mostly associated with foppish artistic types because our most masculine boy has a beret.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised it didn't become like more of an American iconic hat.
That's true.
Bring it back.
Bring it back,
it.
Baby.
Rebrand it.
Derek, thanks for being on SideQuest, by the way.
Thank you. Oh my God, Ashley. I loved it. And you didn't only EP it, you also wrote it. So give yourself credit.
Hey, thank you,
Ashley.
Yes, I did.
I loved it. I loved it so much. And I can't wait for everyone to see it. And I got to do it with Anna Conkle. That was the first time I worked with Anna and loved her and loved the whole cast and crew. It was so much fun.
I'm so glad to hear that.
When I got killed off of Mythic Quest, I was very sad.
It was a vicious murder, too. Strange choice for us to make in comedy.
Your character was beheaded, is that correct?
What do you call that reference? Like people will say, like, cut to Homer going back into the like grass, like where like someone just like fades away. Like,
Oh, yes.
I didn't get killed off. I just got like, oh, we're hiring new people.
Well, we did sort of.
There was no death scene. What's that?
You being the lead of this episode was a bit of a death sentence for you, I suppose. Because we
the best. I got to dance, which is what I was born to do.
It's true.
We have to cut that too, right?
No, that's in the preview. In the
okay.
He's dancing in the trailer.
I'm going to cut this whole episode.
And more, you weren't part of Drunk History. You are Drunk History.
I was the beating heart of Drunk History.
No, you were. You saved so many days and made it so much fun. And oh, I love to always tell people how I'd put you up first, because when people would come in that had never done the show, I wanted them to see how it was done. And you were obviously so nice and talented and were so good at this and would always make people feel so at home. And that was so, so crucial. That was the orange juice to the show of like, you know, you have a bad first two shots, you're done for the day.
That's right.
You got to warm the guests up with like the best in the business. So
well, I'm
forever grateful for you.
I agree with everything you just said.
Good.
No, thank you. Dude, it was incredible. I mean, so just so people don't know. Oh, also, and side quest, if people don't know, is four episodes of standalone episodes from Mythic Quest.
Yes. So it's what? It's, their only cast member that appears, well, cast members are Derek and then Rob McElhenney is Ian. But so all the other stories are like Dark Quiet Death in the first season, if you watched and enjoyed that, they're all basically in that vein. So they're self-contained. They got humor. They got heart. They got references to games. I was involved with all of them. That is either a plus or a minus, depending on who you are. So, please watch it.
And there's drama. It's just rare to put drama in comedy, and I loved it. I loved it. I haven't seen the other three, but...
Yeah, man. It's like, that's what I love. One thing I love about Mythic Quest, which I can say because I didn't write these episodes, is their willingness to take like big swings. And everybody knows, like, there's so the like cinematic quality of a bunch of those standalone episodes is like, it's never been done before, which is something that I really appreciate the ambition of that, you know?
Hey, 100%, thanks, guys.
Yeah.
It's really good.
You should explain what you were going to explain about Drunk History.
Oh, yeah. Just that I was in the cast of reenactors on Drunk History. So Derek's told this story a billion times, but he would go get these brilliant interviews and then dress all of his friends up like different Abraham Lincolns and have us.
Only ever Abraham Lincoln.
And have us burp while Will Ferrell was also there hanging out. It was like a fucking dream shit. You know what I mean? I got to work with.
Who was your favorite? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No. Who was my favorite?
Yeah, I had two questions, but yeah, who was your favorite?
I mean, Maya Rudolph was such a dream come true to like be in her presence, kind of. She's just, I hold her very highly. And the fact that she was like, it was that 80s episodes about like, about her being a drug kingpin. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so it was also a really fun set, like just aesthetically, everything was all 80s and crazy. And she was like, as fun as you would want her to be, she was like singing the whole time and just like game for whatever. And you know, when you meet people who are that funny and they just have a funny presence, you're like, this is what I exactly what I hope for. And Chris Parnell, it wasn't only SNL cast members that I love, but Parnell fucking made me break, which is really hard on that show because you know everything that's going to be said. But was he playing Thomas Edison maybe? Mm-hmm. And I was his assistant, and he goes, fuck you, but said it in a way where it felt like he was saying it to Mort Burke.
Yeah.
Like, I never had anybody make me, it's like breaking somebody in like a play or something, you know?
I don't know.
It was totally a dream come true, man. So thank you for doing it. And one more thing, I really, really love the stories that we told.
Yeah.
I said something about Drunk History to somebody and they hadn't seen the show and they're like, history, but you're not talking real history. And I was like, no, the thing is we really, really did talk real history about marginalized people and unknown experiences. And I'm really grateful to you for doing it.
I'm grateful to you. Did you have a favorite part that you played?
Yeah, Chaplin.
Oh, that was great. Yeah.
It was funny that what I treated that like I was Daniel Day-Lewis. Like I did a bunch of, and you know, I'm on screen for 15 seconds or something, but I read
remember that shot where you take a swig and then you pass out.
Yeah.
Right? Because we're like on a boat, right? Yeah.
It was like Clue where we were filming different murders, right?
Yes, yes.
And yeah, so, but I read a bunch about his childhood and like learned all this stuff about Chaplin where he was like, his dad was a performer and he would do this thing where they like, he would, when Charlie Chaplin was like six, he would bring a trunk on stage, pull Charlie Chaplin out of the trunk and just throw him into the audience.
What the hell?
So he had been like, his life was insane because he was also like a, he was working in factories as a child.
Sure.
So he had every right to marry a 14 year old.
Charlie Chaplin did nothing wrong.
Did he, wait, because that's the same thing happened to Buster Keaton. That he was thrown out into the crowd.
Was this a thing that people did back in the day?
Yeah, that was taught in
time to toss the boy.
In vaudeville, you had a kid, you were going to be fucking throwing him into the audience.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was a thing, like a good luck charm. Like, I don't know, like the first crowd surf, like, this is my child, like, L'chaim, like, there you go.
Yeah.
A non-consensual crowd surf, throwing an adolescent into the crowd. I mean, they didn't have smartphones back then. What were they going to do? Not toss their son?
No.
Right. Yeah. There was no proof that they did it.
And this is maybe too dark.
Never too dark.
There's a book called The History of Childhood. It's only very, very recently that we've started considering children anything other than like property. At least in like quote unquote civilized Western culture. Because certain ancient spiritual tenets understand that like children have rights. But as far as like post-industrial revolution, that's kind of a new thing for us.
Right. They got tiny hands. They can get in there and fix the gears.
Yeah. And they some of them can't talk to complain. Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't teach them English.
It's called The History of Childhood. That's a very broad title. Wow.
Yep.
And it's about child actor or just people, children working.
It's about like the from, I haven't read it. I've never read a book, but my understanding is that
I listened to it,
you know, at some point in the like recorded history, it starts with talking about how children were treated and considered and then up until now. So very, and a lot of it was like having an accessory or to your point, like having a little extra worker that it's time to like go out to the smoke factory and make shoes or whatever.
Right.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to read that.
Yep.
But yeah, we survived childhood.
Tune in March 26th for a more fun story than that one.
So,
yes,
we talked a little bit before we started recording about what we wanted to rebrand. And it seems like we've landed on the subject of manners. Because Derek, you were telling us that you walk around your neighborhood. This sort of sparked it. But you walk around your neighborhood and there's a guy that's just always speaking on the phone. But the phone is on speaker.
Loudspeaker phone, like, and I believe it's with his mother, so it's nice to do that, but I just don't need to hear it, and I don't think anyone else does, unless his mother's in trouble and we all like are trying to find out where she is, if she's baby Jessica stuck in a well.
Do you think she's been having an emergency for 8 months straight and he's just trying to alert
she you can only talk to her son on speakerphone? You sound too close to me. Go outside and put it on speaker. No, I just think that it's getting ridiculous with people. You know, I remember when cell phones first came out, and I remember telling a dear friend in Baltimore, I said, if I ever walk into a public place on my phone, punch me in the face. Like, you know, it wasn't that long ago where like that was rude, you know, like to be somewhere. And like now it's, I don't want to say normal, but like you see it often in grocery stores where people are checking out and you don't know if they're talking to you or they're talking to the cashier. And I just think manners have just like, I want to bring manners back. I guess it's rebranding what manners were. And
right, for the modern era.
Yeah, modern manners.
Modern manners.
And just, I think, respect, right? Respect as well, like, we want. And like, if you have an important call, like, what would be the reason that a speakerphone, if your phone didn't work, maybe, but like I said, like, you would turn down your volume, right? I think it's, unfortunately, we're in the dawn of me, and I want to do this and I don't care about
anyone
else.
And by me,
else.
You don't mean Derek Waters. You mean?
I don't mean me.
I mean, if only.
As
if
in,
only.
It's the world of me. Yep. Like everything's about
selfishness.
Your snarf. It's, and we also live in the land of narcissists. So
it's true.
But what do I say to that? I can't. The other thing is the manners of like, what am I going to say? Can you please not do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. It's just like something you should know. Like, why would you want to hear it? So I have walked by and I go, uh-huh.
Do you you no. should put your phone on speakerphone and try and have a have your mom have a conversation with
with his mom?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That bothers me, and I wish waving was back. I miss waving to people.
Yo, I love a wave.
I love a good wave. How are you doing? Nice to see you. That's it. I don't want a SAG card. I'm not trying to get anything out of you. You know, like
right.
Just saying hi.
A simple acknowledgement: you exist, I exist. We're walking near each other right now.
No one ever waves back to you.
It's very rare, and it's not like I'm waving to like little kids. I'm waving to like people my age. You know, and I just remembered this story in high school. This is probably one of my best manner story. I was the oldest in my class, got held back in preschool, brag, brag, brag. And when I was driving my friends home from high school, we were at a red light, and next to our right is a bank. And there's a car to my left that wants to get over to get into the bank. Mm-hmm. And it's a Jaguar. Now, I know we're not supposed to judge. I was young. I was 16, okay? I judged everything. I tell my friends, I go, watch, I'm going to let this guy in, and he's not going to say thank you. And sure enough, he went in, and he didn't say thank you. I meant to yell, you're welcome, but fucker came out. And he got out of the car, and he leaned into my passenger window that was down. And over my friend's head and just stared at me. He goes, what did you say? And I said, you heard me. He goes, why would you call me that? I was like, you didn't say thank you. And he like took a beat and he goes, thank you. And I go, you're welcome. And he got back in his car. It was like a scene in a movie. I just remember that.
Yeah, you're like the Punisher, but for being a sweetie. Yeah.
He took it in and he changed his behavior.
Maybe the three friends in my car helped.
Oh yeah, maybe what he was processing and assessing was how many people were in the car and if he thought he could take you.
Yep, that's possible.
Might not have been the same ride, but just for fun, I just remembered it was the same passengers, and there was a song on the radio by the Police, and I just said to the girl I was driving home, I said, do you like the Police? And she goes, who does? She thought it was talking about the 5-0.
Respect.
But yes, back to manners. I just think I was also raised like I would get like pushed up if I wasn't sitting up straight. So I think I had strict rules.
Me too.
But I'm also so grateful for them, like chewing with your mouth shut. You know, I don't know. I like manners, and I think they're rare now.
My brother will do that when we were younger. Somebody's like chewing with their mouth open. Hey, close your mouth. Like if somebody parked weird and you had to go around them, he would go, yeah, just put that anywhere. I was saying at our old place, we had a dude who would do the same thing, walk outside with his phone on speakerphone.
But also, I love riding my bike in Burbank. There's a really good Burbank little path. And there's multiple people doing this. Like, it's not just one. And they're all talking about work. And yeah, you just wonder, is anyone on the other line? I don't know.
Totally.
I just want to hear that phone ring.
Right, like, that they're like, so anyway, hold on, Steven Soderbergh. Owen Wilson's on the other line. You're like, you're not fucking talking to a human.
Do you think they think that because they're outside that everything is fair game? Like, we're not in an enclosed space?
Yeah.
So.
And I think, Ashley, like, that's a very good point. It's not like, this is my world, you got to be quiet. I'm not saying this is my world. And you got to be quiet to me. I just think it's one of those things of just like, why do I care? Today I was at Gelson's, brag, brag, brag. And I heard a guy go, well, just do a skeleton crew. Just small skeleton crew, low budge. I'm just like, why in here? Why? I mean, that's cool. Why? But I don't know. I mean, you guys can call me out. We're friends. Like,
No, I'm with you.
No, this is, or is it a real
no,
thing?
No, this is
that,
such like, a fucking Los Angeles problem, too. You know what I mean? Like, not that this isn't indicative of a larger problem, but we have one lady in our little complex who waves all the time.
Uh-huh.
And it's great, and it's also, I'm so used to not waving that I find it a little scary sometimes, which I know is a weird reaction, but I am like, if I'm not ready to talk to her, I'm like, okay, I don't know what to do. But she only ever wants to wave.
She doesn't want to have a conversation.
This is your perfect person, actually, Derek.
Can you explain the wave for your listeners so we can visualize it?
Like, totally. So she is on the phone, not on speaker, right? Normal, okay? That's what I'm saying. It's like you designed this lady. And she just, so you could tell she's occupied, and it's just a nod. Casual, like, head nod in a wave, like, hey, I see you there, we're neighbors.
And then she keeps it moving.
It's perfect. And she always does it. And so now it does have it's like there's something now really comforting about the regularity of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, my mom's neighborhood, she lives in Arizona. They're always waving at each other. I'm like, do you know that person? She's like, no.
It's the best.
Yeah. And I love that. And I don't know if it's just like how you grow up, but like, it's just like, it's nice. Like where I live, when I have to back into my driveway, mm-hmm. and I've had two waves, like, normally they're just like waiting for me to go, like, but if I see someone backing out, it's like they didn't ask to live there. I mean, obviously they asked to live there. Someone's in a situation, like, wave, like, no problem.
Right.
No one can't be in a big of a rush unless you're driving an ambulance.
Yeah.
Everything's fine. Everything's fine.
Especially here, dude. When you're on a TV show, which I've been fortunate enough to be, everybody acts like you're in Vietnam. And it's like, is this a thing we love? Yes. It is important, sure. But also, we're working on 2 and a Half Men. Let's not pretend.
Yeah, it's
like
a playground that pays.
I think that level of self-seriousness does contribute to an attitude where it's like, even if you're not part of that, you want to be part of that. So you act like that in the hopes that you will get to that point. Whereas, like, the best of those people, I worked with, like, Mike Royce for a while. He's extremely kind, considerate, thoughtful, generous people. That's how you actually ascend. You can get to the point where you're an asshole and very successful. Like, you can do that for sure. But the experiences I've had, the people are not like that.
I know. I love just nice people who just so happen to be talented. It's just like, and when people are like, you're so nice, like, why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't, right? why, when someone's an asshole, just like, do something else. There's so many other things to do.
Yeah.
This is too much of a fortunate world that we live in. And be kind. I just remembered a quote my grandfather used to say, which is, you may not be as handsome as you want or as tall as you would like, but you can always be polite.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
He was a rhymer.
Yeah.
As a rap artist.
Easy to say for your grandpa. I've seen him. He was hot as hell. Real smoke show grandpa.
And so tall. I was like, that's a weird way of saying I'm ugly and short.
This is making me think, based on how the Jaguar man responded to you, that maybe the move is to rebrand how we respond to impolite behavior.
Mm.
Like, uh-huh. I like what you were saying about you just get on a phone call on speakerphone. Start walking right next to that guy. See what happens.
Well, that's, I will, I, you know, the American genius Ron Bunches said this thing one time where he was like, yeah, I sort of give people the energy in return that they're giving me, which I think is a really masterful move, actually.
Yeah.
I also think this is also partially an urban thing, that like in cities, you're so mm-hmm. close to each other that if you acknowledge each other in a friendly way, you're already a little bit intimate just by proximity.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think that's one reason it's less common in cities, because we're all so goddamn close.
Oh, interesting.
You know, whereas like in a rural area, or where your mom lives, their houses are separated by like 40, 50 feet of backyard.
Right.
Shit, right.
You can always retreat.
Mm-hmm.
You can retreat to your compound versus if you wave to someone that you know where they live and it's within a few feet of you, then.
Right.
Well, then what's next?
Yep.
You have to have coffee.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a human connection.
Yeah. Then we got
to
hook up. You know,
Yeah. What you were saying with, you know, giving back that same energy. I remember when the headphones, you know, the wired headphones.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I would love wearing them when I didn't want to talk to someone. You know, if we were doing something at work or I was just not wanting to talk to someone. It's like, clearly this person is like unavailable, right?
Yeah, right. Totally.
And when someone would be like, so anyway, when I got it and they would start talking, my go-to was always like, sorry, what time's the funeral, Mom? And if they kept talking, I knew I wasn't dealing with an actual human life form. But Ashley, when you were saying, like, you know, like, as a kid, I yelled that, and I don't want to be condescending to people to actually yell "you're welcome" and be like passive aggressive, like. But I wonder if there's a way to like get like let someone not aware of like
right.
Oh, excuse me, and I'm not the best at it because I don't know why all my stories happen at a grocery store, but I love shopping, and but like if someone like just goes right. Oh yeah, let me ask you guys, do you, when you're looking for food and someone is in that area and you have to cross them, do you say excuse me?
Yes,
I say excuse me. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do too, and that wasn't a test. I was just like, it's rare, like sometimes I'm doing it and now I'm gonna sound like an asshole and someone goes back to me and I go excuse me, they'll go no problem, and then I'll mumble, no, that's what you were supposed to say. And I think one time I said it too loud, and they were like, what? And I was like, have a good day. How can we rebrand manners? Well, setting an example is always the best thing I find of, like, trying to get someone inspired by something is by setting examples, right?
That's the real true foundation of this thing for me, is the reality that, like, I can't control other people at all.
Never.
So in reality, like, my only choices are, A, to actually, like, and I say confront, it doesn't have to be, like, hey, I'm gonna fucking headbutt you if you don't stop, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Maybe some kind of, like, human experience, because people are intuitive and they do react to the energy that you bring to them often, you know? So to be able to say, like, hey, I'm not trying to, you know, be a jerk or anything, but you're interrupting my serenity a little bit with the screaming mother you have on your on your phone. Because this has always fascinated me, this idea. A friend of mine, he's from Florida, and we talk about this a lot. And he said to a psychiatrist, he was like, why is it if someone isn't polite, I feel like they want to fight me? And that's how it feels to me. And his psychiatrist was like, you're from the South. That's an honor culture. And I'm from the Midwest. That's an honor culture. Whereas, like, culturally, on the East Coast, it could be considered rude and feel it's fake if you're overly kind. And I know that's not exactly what you're talking about. There's like a cultural thing that happens here. Whereas, like, you know, in New York, if you're lost, somebody will come up to you and be like, wait, you need to go. All right, yeah, get on the train, go. You know, they're like really nice, but they just have places to be.
But yeah.
I did my study abroad in Japan, and there's a lot of, like, I don't know how it's absorbed. It must just be taught from household to household and then communally. That country has just decided these are the rules that we abide by.
Honor culture.
But no one speaks on the train. Like, you can have conversation, but, like, no one talks on the phone, nothing. I'm currently sitting cross-legged. I like to sit cross-legged a lot, and I just wasn't thinking, and I sat cross-legged on the train, and a woman across the train from me made eye contact with me, and she shook her head, and she did this, and I was like, oh, shit.
Pointed at your legs?
Mm-hmm. She pointed my legs.
Why is that wrong?
Because I guess it's rude because my shoes are on the seat. Or a piece of my shoe is on the seat since I'm sitting cross-legged.
Wow.
Okay, I got you. Crisscross, you know, applesauce.
Crisscross applesauce.
Yeah, no thanks.
Well, not even crisscross. Just,
like,
yeah, you're not
this?
Sitting
what am I doing right now?
Yeah, like yoga Indian style.
Pretzel?
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing. But, like, the nice edge of my foot, as they say in yoga, is on the chair.
Uh-huh, right.
And, like, in Japan, you take your shoes off. And most Asian cultures, you take your shoes off before you enter a house. So I think that was a no-no. I didn't think about it. But she wordlessly summoned her energy toward me. I clocked it. I locked eyes with her. She shook her head and she pointed at my legs and then pointed at the ground and I went, yes, ma'am. Like, just from the power
of
her.
In a public place.
Yeah.
In a public place.
Yeah.
She's the Japanese Derek Waters, I feel like.
Maybe. I remember someone had a friend of a friend come over here and he sat on the couch and he put his foot up on the couch with his shoes on and I did not respect him.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, it's a wild move. There was I was in a writer's room recently and the guy kept putting
their feet
place. On the table all the time.
He was?
Yeah. Yeah, I want my home to be a welcome home, but, like, respect it. I've never put my feet up on, like...
No, it's stunning. And doing stand-up, too. Like, if somebody has their feet
on the stage... Oh, God. You've seen that?
Yeah, totally. And it's, there was a guy the other night and he had his shoes on the stage and I was like, what kind of shoes are those? And he was like, I don't know. And I was like, what do you mean? You don't know? I was like, that's a very affluent guy move to be like, I don't even know what kind of shoes these are. And then I started talking about something else and his wife goes, she was kind of mad at him, I think, because he was putting his feet on the stage. And she goes, those are Louis Vuittons. And I was like, I knew it.
He just wanted to show him.
Yeah, so there was like, there is that kind of person who in public, it's always a man in my experience, and it's like, yeah, there's a level of entitlement. So, okay, so I also want to say another thing that they're not that guy, he needs to be checked, but there's another kind of person who has a lack of self-consciousness, which I almost respect, like, or can be fun. That's the thing. Like, I'm with you, Derek, that, like I said, if somebody's not nice to me, I feel like they are trying to fight me, which is, you know, I got to work on that.
I'm not there.
Okay, great.
I don't think they want to fight me. Okay. I just think they weren't raised well.
Yeah, okay, great.
It's not their fault.
Our buddy Grant is the funnest person in the world to go watch a movie with.
Oh, this is true. I really like it when people are vocal in movie theaters. And Grant is so vocal. He screams, he shouts, he just reacts. Look,
give me an example of something that he yells.
We go to see John Wick 4, and he's the whole time he's going, oh, no. No, come on. No. And it
it enhances the experience.
And especially a movie like that, which is like way over the top and like uproarious too. It's supposed to elicit responses and it's so effective as a movie that nobody was bummed. It like added to the party.
Oh yeah. So this is the flip side, the dark side of the Japanese politeness is that I went to go see a movie there because I was doing my study abroad there. And, it was so quiet, I felt self-conscious about opening a snack wrapper. Wow. Mm. And then I laughed at a part in the movie. No one else laughed because I was the only American there and it was an American movie. So maybe it was just like a cultural difference thing. But I was like, I'm going to shut the fuck up for the rest of this film because I was just like, I'm ruining it for them. Versus probably one of my favorite theater experiences of all time was I went to go see Zach Braff film The Last Kiss. I'm sure that no one...
I knew we were soulmates already, but I saw The Last Kiss in theaters.
We were the only two, honey.
Shout out Braff.
And then this one person I'm about to talk about. So I went to go see that movie in theaters with friends. There was a guy in the back of the movie theater. It was like he had never seen a movie before. Every twist and turn of the film, he could not believe it. He was like, because the movie is like Zach Braff has a girlfriend, but he has the hots for this other lady. Is he going to stay with the girlfriend? Is he going to cheat on her? It's a rom-com plot. It's like so kind of basic or whatever. But this guy was like, no, dude, no, Zach Braff, don't do it. Don't do it. She's going to find him. Like screaming at the screen. And his girlfriend's like, shh, shh, like so embarrassed. And it was just making us crack up. And we were in the elevator in the parking lot later. And that dude was there. And he was like, that movie was crazy. And it was not a crazy movie.
It wasn't that crazy.
It was like the most formulaic movie. But he loved it so much. And his girlfriend looked so annoyed with him. And everything about it just enhanced the experience so tremendously. So I am 100% with you. I think the more, not like reacting to the movie, not talking irrespective of the movie,
right,
but
not
reaction
on the phone,
to the movie, I'm a big fan of.
I hope that guy, he reacts to every Zach Braff project. Like that's how he watches Scrubs and stuff. Just for some reason, he finds Zach to be extremely evocative.
Right. Yeah, he has a kinship with him. Yeah.
He's like, stop taking those meds, Zach, for Garden State. You'll get your dad to open up emotionally.
Natalie Portman's really wild.
There was a girl sitting behind me at Wicked. Or no, they were. It was a couple sitting in front of me at Wicked. And it wasn't every line, but it was very close to every other line. Just give me a line if you haven't seen Wicked that you would think would be in Wicked. This is the noise they would make.
Get off my broomstick. Like kind of like gently moan?
Like it was like, this is moving.
Oh!
Wow.
And how did you feel about that?
I loved it because I was like, they've probably seen this so many times.
Right.
And it still hit. It was a nice little couple. Like, Comic-Con type couple that was just like so into it. But just
That's, I'm of the age now where, like, when somebody, I think when I hit 40, now anytime anyone says something I agree with emphatically, I go, I do it all the time.
Well, I think I've said this, all this shit that I'm saying is just, because Japanese people are so polite, not as a general rule, I suppose, but often they're
culturally,
polite,
yeah.
Culturally. But that is also a politeness thing where you're meant to constantly affirm as
yes.
you're speaking on the phone.
Yeah.
So
active,
like,
listening, yeah.
Active listening. So anytime someone says, like my host mom, whenever she was on the phone, the formal way of saying yes or saying like, I hear you, I acknowledge what you're saying is either hi or eh.
Yeah.
So she would be on the phone going, oh. eh, eh, eh. And that was every phone call.
Like that's like sort of, heard you, breaker, breaker, 1-9. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Yep,
yep.
Got you.
Mm-hmm. Just like a consistent, and that
like
was every
that.
Phone call.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's a way to make people feel seen and heard.
Maybe the rebrand is that we just send every American to Japan one by one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think culture is everything of just not knowing more than what you grew up with, no matter what it is. And
totally.
Even on my stance of like, oh, being raised with good manners doesn't mean everyone has them, and that doesn't mean they're bad people. It's just like they weren't raised with it. But I just think giving respect to others is just something that we should all, you know, want to do, to be, you know, love thy neighbors. Well, I have to admit, I was very rude in a theater once when I think Love Guru comes out in 2004 or 5, and I was
gun to my head. I would never have been able to guess what movie you were about to say.
I know where I was, like 9/11. You know what I mean? Like that's.
But
how
do you hard. Remember where you were when Love Guru came out? We went to me and my friends, like in our sketch group, Haha Fresh, shout out. We went to go see Love Guru at the first screening. That was the other thing, is like we wanted to do this at the very first screening of Love Guru at the Grove. So it was like 10 a.m. and we all wore like long wigs, like Love Guru.
You cosplay?
We cosplayed, except though for the 10 to 12 others watching it, when there was like a joke break, any silence, we would say things to the extent of, do I make you guru, baby? Oh, guru. It was. And this one guy came on, he's like, man, you dress just like him. And I was like, yeah, I love that.
How did the
but if you
react?
Haven't seen Love Guru, they didn't react. I think they realized where they were, and maybe they were entertained by us, but like, or like we were like, we're watching The Room, and these were like codes that they didn't know yet.
Oh,
you know,
right.
Maybe.
Right. Black Bag, and then from here on out we go dressed up like the characters from Black Bag and try to turn some weird nominal movie into a Rocky Horror Picture Show. I think that's excellent.
I want to rebrand fun, like thinking about this, like it just reminded me, like we used to do a Super Bowl party and convince like our other friends that we were obsessed with whoever was doing the Super Bowl, so the like halftime show.
Nice.
And I remember like getting black-eyed peas like everywhere, like having like let's get it started in here, like and just treating it like, and it was so much fun.
I got a Will I Am wig on or whatever.
Yeah, we did it every year, and that was so much fun. Like, I don't want to get too old where you stop doing that stuff.
It's so true. I feel like also there's a sort of like harmless prank vibe to that, which is that
I'm not hurting their feelings. We're
no, it's
TV.
Just farcical and nice.
Yeah. Fortunate that now people who are cool are doing the halftime show, like now that it's Kendrick Lamar. But for example, if I would have went as Katy Perry.
I want to ask you guys something. Do we still have time? Are we okay?
Yeah, we're great.
There was a This American Life that covered this story. I want to know if you think this is nice and mean, and I'm going to do my best to not say how I feel. It was about this young band who wasn't very good, but had put out a CD and was doing a show at like a small club.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was Improv America or whatever that group is. And they all learned the songs and came to the show and knew every word and acted like they were the greatest band.
Yeah, improv everywhere. Is that what they were called?
I think that's what the group was.
Or and the band was not very good?
No. And they're young.
Yeah, I think that's mean.
I think it's mean.
Yeah.
I think it's mean and also
funny.
Well, here's the thing. I feel like there's probably no way that that happens and then that band then doesn't find out that it was a prank.
Right.
But if you could do it maybe in such a way that the band would never find out, then it's like they just had a really great show, maybe. Yeah. But I do think mm-hmm. it's disingenuous and kind of mean.
Yeah.
I've gotten in disagreements with people because I really think it's so cruel. The only way I would think that that wouldn't be cruel is if they were old men, like,
right,
having 24 hours to live. So this was their last show. Like, they played a long time ago. Let's give them their last great show. But like I said, these kids were like in their 20s.
Yeah.
And like, you like lied to me. Like that Mr. Yeah. Show sketch where he thinks he's going to die. You know, like,
yeah, yeah.
And they make him think he's the best in the world. And like, I don't know. Other people have said like, yeah, but they felt really great for that moment. Like, they didn't die afterwards.
Right. Right, that's the thing.
It's like, hey, you guys, I just want to let you know I'm great. You're great. Yeah, like 3 years ago, I had a great night. Like, no, I've had 2 years and 364 other days that haven't been great because I realized I was lied to. Like,
right.
I don't know. I just thought that's an interesting test of like, was that nice or mean? Yeah.
If they had that show and then were summarily executed. But,
right.
One of the rare instances where execution makes it nice. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's a funny visual of someone's last
the greatest show.
What's your last meal? I want to perform at Barnes and Noble for a bunch of people who know all my songs.
That's what's so wild about being funny and shit that is funny is that there are different realities coexist, right? Like, that was a hilarious fun time for the people doing it and for the band and for probably everybody in there, I imagine, for about 2 or 3 hours.
Right.
And then that's the whole thing with the problem with cancel culture, whatever. It's like, those people don't recognize, they don't have the empathy to understand, like, I'm saying something that's funny to me, but other people's experience is different.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to bring it all the way back to manners, I feel like it's just sort of a lack of thought beyond the first thought. There's just like a lack of forethought or lack of forward sight, I suppose, which is, as you sort of said, it's this sort of idea of like, well, I'm thinking about how this affects or impacts me. Mm-hmm. Or how it will delight me, or how it will convenience me, and then not thinking outside of that, which maybe all this stuff is sort of instilling a pause before an action, which we don't like to do. We're automatic machines now.
Yeah.
So having a moment where you're like, will this make them really sad when a This American Life episode comes out talking about how bad they are and how we mocked them? Because I don't know, I'm maybe half as glass full on people that I think some people just don't. It's, as you say, it's not that they're bad people. It's that they literally aren't being considerate. They literally aren't considering the impact beyond their action.
Right. To me, the sort of modernity of being so connected in a lot of ways, it doesn't fulfill the social joy of actual connection. It does do this interesting thing where things that you could have said previously in the middle of nowhere, nobody would have heard them and you would have been fine. But now all of a sudden, like, you actually can't make this stupid joke where you're like, yeah, Puerto Ricans are trash because of the way we're all connected.
Mm-hmm.
So the world has become a city now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everyone is so close by proximity. Like, yeah, you can't just yell your stupid, ignorant shit anymore and expect other people not to have a reaction to it.
Or you become the president.
Yeah.
Or that. And you can say whatever you want.
Yeah, we like him on this podcast.
We didn't. Did we tell you that we're real?
We swung
big Trump heads.
I was conflicted on rebranding, and I was also gonna say the flag because I love the flag, and it's like, let's rebrand that. The flag doesn't mean I like Trump.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I know. I get bummed whenever I see American flag now, and I'm like, it's not the flag's fault, really.
Can't do that. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Okay. So to rebrand in movies.
I didn't mean you can't do that. I'm like, you know, I understand it. It's just hard.
Yeah.
It's a touchy rebrand.
It's a touchy rebrand.
We all want our country to be better than what it is right now.
We're gonna have to cram all the political shit into one rebrand episode because it's all so like.
I mean, it's just politics is life, baby. It's in all of them.
Yeah,
that's
true.
That's just what happens.
That's absolutely true. Okay, manners. So to rebrand in a movie theater, you've either got to be hilarious or charming or interesting or empathetic.
It just needs to be about the goddamn movie, too.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
Like, don't be having no side conversations.
Yep.
Don't be looking at the phone.
Yep.
I like a person, like, I remember seeing Get Out, and it was a really vocal audience, and it was awesome. And that moment when the lights come up, and you're like, fuck, is it a cop car? And everyone was like, audibly gasped, because they were like, oh no, he's going to get shot. And then the TSA agent friend came out, and everyone like fucking burst into applause, and it was awesome.
Oh.
Like, that kind of stuff is great.
That's great.
That's such a brilliant ending to that movie.
It's a perfect.
That's why we need theaters. We need to go see movies.
Totally.
When I went to see Back to the Future, Beetlejuice.
Oh, huh.
No. Anyway, when the movie started, there's a woman in front of me just going like this, just holding her phone up to the screen, just filming it.
Huh.
Nakedly filming the screen?
Bootlegging the new Beetle.
And I was like, excuse me. And she didn't say anything. And there's someone sitting next to me that's directly behind her. And no one's saying anything. And I was just like, excuse me. Can you put your phone down? And she looked at me like I was the biggest asshole. Like, I'm sorry. Like,
that's
you
unhinged.
Wanted to film the movie?
Yeah. Has this person ever been outside? That's insane.
Also, I guess who watches those phone bootleg movies anymore? Like, no one wants that.
Somebody.
Like, phone quality screen of a screen?
Yeah, it's gonna be on Paramount in 20 minutes.
Yeah, just calm down.
That's...
Yeah.
Okay, I think for a rebrand for the dudes on their phones, I think we need a warehouse that has in it a dog park and a small grocery store, and we just put all the dudes who are too loud on their phone together just in there.
Yeah.
So it's just a tower of Babel of just fucking speaker.
Yeah, like a smoker's lounge.
Yeah.
It's a speakerphone lounge.
Oh, that's
right?
Good.
Like,
exactly.
And it just, I would love to see that in a movie. I don't, you guys know the video game terms. What do you call a video game character that's a non-player? What is that?
Oh, yeah, non-player, like, character, NPC?
A non-play. I picture The Sims, like, there's just a bunch of non-player characters. Wow, wow, wow. Oh, yeah, and then, you vote for him. And I got fired, but I don't care. You know, it's probably...
Well, I'll sell out my script.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, that's great.
Yeah, I think that would be good. If you're going to talk on speakerphone, you need to be surrounded by other people that have that same need. And,
yes. And I think that driving manners should be a part of the DMV driver's test that everyone receives at 18
100%.
Years old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where you are required to pass to give like a wave when somebody
That's
lets you
right.
over, or to fucking apologize if you cut somebody off, you know?
That's nice. Yeah.
When you let someone in, mm-hmm. when you let someone in.
Yeah, always, exactly.
Thank you.
All right, yeah, and just be more pro-waving in general, it seems like. Wave at Derek if you see him, by
God.
For God's sakes, he's a nice man.
Please, I'm just waving. How are you doing?
He doesn't want to hug.
What did Mitch Hedberg say? I like to wave, but sometimes I feel bad. Like, what if I wave to someone without any hands? I look arrogant.
Oh, R.I.P. I loved him.
R.I.P.
That's why the head nod is good. Is that
head nod's good, too.
Yeah, no matter your abilities, you can always do a cool head nod.
Yeah.
Okay, I feel great about those rebrands. And then did you have one more? Yeah, I think everybody should just be waving more. You can make the wave cool if you want. Maybe throw in a couple of
Whoa.
Snaps.
Whoa. Some snaps.
Right? A clap, two snaps and a finger.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, so make it a little more rhythmic if that helps you bring a little bit of extra tude into it.
Yeah, just, have a little think before you put your grimy feet that have touched the dirt of the sidewalk where thousands have walked, where dogs have pissed, where babies have puked onto a table.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and if you're in a comedy show and you put your feet on the stage, know that is a direct invite to get full-on Jeff Ross roasted by whoever's...
Or have them sliced off. You should just go up with a goddamn machete.
Yeah.
Just
it is pretty stunning to see.
It's,
like,
that's crazy.
Yeah, it's really nuts.
That's so disrespectful.
Entitlement. It's just entitlement and like, I'm not into that. Even in a movie theater, if no one's sitting in front of the other person, when someone puts their feet up on that, I still don't like it.
Yeah,
sure.
I don't know. I think it's just there's so much entitlement, and I think those are the signs of like people being entitled that I feel like. who's like, oh, I like entitled people. He's like me. We're all entitled. Like, do they think that? Like, oh, motherfucker's entitled. What's up, man? How you doing?
Maybe a little bit. I think those two used to, a Ferrari asshole sees another
Ferrari
asshole.
Maybe when they're together. Maybe when they're together, they both put their feet up.
Yeah.
But like separate places, like two entitled people like meeting in the, I don't know, a lot.
We should do a thing where for people like that, we put them in sort of a hell of their own making where there's only one person could put their feet up on the seat.
Ooh, to see.
So there's one chair and then a chair behind it. And one of you gets to put your feet up, but the other one doesn't. And then what?
Yep. Then what? Then you know what how the other half lives.
That's right.
Yeah. I want one day a year where we all give each other extremely platonic non-sexual kisses on the cheek.
Wow.
One day.
Like a European style? Just,
yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's a special day.
Yeah, it's a special day. What's today? March 18th? Yeah. 18th. Let's say March 18th is kissing day.
The day after St. Paddy's Day?
Yeah.
So at midnight, sure. At midnight, everyone kisses on St. Paddy's Day.
Let's say a kiss on the forehead. Right. I think cheek is too close to mouth. People are gonna do some weird shit with that.
I love the forehead. That's
but
great.
Also, you're all hungover from the day after St. Paddy's Day. You might need a little kiss on the noggin.
Yeah, you might.
Yeah,
the forehead feels spiritual in a way to me.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah.
There's something
a little
very,
third eye kiss.
Yeah. A little. Yeah. It's very. I don't know. Very genuine to kiss someone. It's like very paternal.
Yeah. It's paternal and maternal. I think.
Okay.
To give a little noggin.
Yeah.
Kiss.
I think the kiss on the forehead is like I'm in love. Like.
Oh, interesting.
I mean,
so maybe more a kiss on the top.
On your hair.
Yeah, right on the fontanelle, is what people call it.
Or just wave.
Or you can wave.
Wave, you don't need to say anything. It's just a sign to go, I'm alive. You
yeah.
Too? Yeah, we're both alive. Hey.
This is it's a
yeah,
simple.
Just acknowledge that someone else is alive.
It's a man's simple plea.
Yeah.
To get
away. That's all I ask.
Challenge yourselves, Los Angeles, to treat each other like human beings.
Yeah.
Hey, Derek, is there anything you want to tell the people about? Or
I really want you guys to watch PsyQuest. It's really fun, and I hope everyone likes it. And I've never had a bigger acting role, and I loved every minute of it.
Really you did fun. Such a great job, Derek.
Yeah.
We are so lucky
I
to
loved
have
it.
You.
Whenever people find out about Drunk History, they're like, the host is so fucking funny. And I think it's really interesting to watch somebody who's that strong and like hilariously charismatic do something that's a little more dramatic.
Yeah. He does great. It's all the colors of the rainbow, baby.
Yeah. That's excellent.
Just want to do it all.
What are your socials, my friend?
If you have any.
Pushing your Instagram. Or you also don't have to say if you don't care.
Oh, yes. On Instagram, I am DW34.
Hell yeah.
And on Twitter, I think I'm Derek Waters with two S's.
Sweet.
Nice. And where can they find us?
First of all, I want to say the episode of Mythic Quest that I'm on is coming out.
That's right,
March 19th.
It's already out as per the release of this. Go watch it. Yeah. What are you doing, you idiot? Go watch it.
Yes,
yeah,
so go watch Mythic Quest. We're an Apple family now.
We're Apple family.
We love Mythic Quest, and you can find us first of all on our Patreon. Rebrand the podcast. Go join our Patreon. It's so fucking fun. It's insane. People are on there having all kinds of talks. Tell us about what manners you enjoy and feel are outdated.
Yeah.
Or manners that you feel like maybe we can let go of, you know?
Interesting.
Because I do agree, it's a modern world. We need modern manners and old-timey manners in some ways. And
maybe manners make you feel uncomfortable. And maybe someone pretended to be nice to you and now you're afraid. Like, people have reasons why. Like, yeah, I don't like waving because I don't want to engage with anyone.
Also, you can find us at Rebrand the Podcast on Instagram. Follow us, etc.
etc. Yeah. Thanks so much for joining us, Derek.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Rebrand.